We just had a little spooky snafu. We thought we were recording and we weren't. Welcome to a very special episode of BC is Creepy.
We're on location on top of Beaver Lake.
Yeah, and so since it's our first field trip episode, to make it extra special, we brought along Jordan Barnes Krause.
Hello.
You'll remember him from episode...
I think it's 10, but I'm just calling it the UAP episode because I remember topics better than numbers.
Yeah. Aliens.
Yes.
Well, not necessarily. Well,
no. UAP. Fine. Unidentified aerial phenomena, Topher.
Yeah. Aerial.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, anyways, Topher today has done our research.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about one of the most famous unsolved murders in Vancouver, and it happened... Oh, Kenan!
Ooh!
Right!
So, in addition to being in Stanley Park for today's topic, we remember Dead Man's Island? Well, we're near that too right now. Maybe we'll walk past it. Who knows?
Yeah. So, that was the cannon that just went off. That it goes off at, like, what?
I think 9 p.m.?
9 p.m.?
So it's 9 p.m.
Yeah, 9 p.m. and it's getting dark.
Yeah, we can't see the smoke anymore.
And one of our flashlights has already failed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, let's
see how this goes.
Let's get into it. Let's get into, like, how dark can this go? Yeah. So I want to start on January 14th, 1953.
Okay.
What's the topic?
Yeah.
It's Vancouver's most famous unsolved murder.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Babes in the Woods is what everybody calls it.
Okay.
If you want me to reveal the special secret.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not that special of a secret.
Okay. So, this was 1953 when Albert Tong stumbled across two bodies of children in Stanley Park. Not far from where we're sitting right now. They were decomposed to skeletons, and they were found with, like, a fur coat, and they had aviator hats, and they had, like, clothes. They had these shoes.
Did they die on Halloween?
No, they... it was 1953, and they were children that really liked to play, like... Well, they assume that they were just, like... They had war heroes.
Oh.
This was post-World War II.
It's not like they could have been dressed up as those war heroes for Halloween.
No.
These weren't like kid-sized clothes, were they?
They were kid-sized. They were their own clothes that they died in and were left in the park.
I see.
They guessed 6 years.
Whoa. Wow.
Based on...
Wait, what year did you say it was?
They were found in 1953.
53, okay.
Yeah, and they were estimated to be murdered in, like, 1947, I think.
Yeah, that would be 6 years.
Yeah, although I'm going to get to another point about that a little bit later.
Okay, we won't rush you.
They were found with their aviator helmets, a blue tin lunch kit, shoes, jacket, but also a woman's shoe. A fur coat, and an axe. The axe was used to kill them. One of them was, like, bashed in the head, and the other one was their head chopped off.
Wow, so Vancouver's got a lot more axe murders than you'd expect.
Yeah, quite a few axe murderers. So one of the kids had their head bashed in and died of, like, head trauma, and the other one was chopped up with an axe.
Hmm.
And their bodies were completely decomposed to skeletons. Now, at the time, they were listed as a boy and a girl between 7 to 10 years old. And the date of 1947 was declared because the shoes were of Japanese origin and believed to have arrived after the war. So the VPD called out for leads regarding the two children and their mother, receiving hundreds of calls, but all dead ends. And so this was, like, a huge deal, you know, kids murdered, not found for 6 years, and never properly identified.
Still to this day?
To this day. It is 2019.
It's not 2019.
2018.
I'm with 2019.
There's still a few months. We're still missing. We haven't even hit the best part of the year yet. Come on.
Oh, that's true.
Don't skip to 2019.
Okay. Well, regardless, they should have identified these kids by now.
So I guess this investigation's still open, right? Like, is anybody working on it? Or did they just kind of let it go?
Well, they reopened the case in 1996. But before that, the bodies were taken and, well, I should actually start by saying that the evidence was not handled very great in 1953.
'Cause that never happens in old cases. They always know how to handle evidence properly.
The VPD were the MVPs of never. So they brought a doctor to the scene instead of a forensic pathologist.
Ooh.
And he was the one that listed them as a boy and a girl. They put the bones and all the evidence into boxes, which caused further degradation and corrosion of the evidence. They actually put the bodies on display in the Vancouver Police Museum. Which also eventually made it to the Peony Fair.
What?
Yeah. Bodies. Human children murdered bodies.
At
the Peony Fair.
They're Yeehaw. Just like, check this out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come check out Vancouver's, like, murdered children.
I mean, you think that, like, the freak shows were treating people bad and stuff, but yeah, no, just come see some remains. We don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, right?
Well, I mean, I guess if it might be a way to possibly identify them. A very
except they're skeletons.
yeah, true. I mean, were they on display in their clothes? Or just like...
Well, I think what they did... Like, right now, if you go to the police museum, they've reenacted the crime scene. So they've remade the fake bones. They've put it in, like, a little patch of grass alongside their clothes, the lunch kit, the murder weapon. And so they had... I'm pretty sure that's what they would have done at the fair.
Except with the real bones.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah.
Also, just, like, any DNA that would have been on them? Probably not after that.
No, they, Okay, well, I can actually bring up 1996 now. So, Brian Honeyborn became head of the Provincial Unsolved Homicide Unit, and he wanted to reopen the case because he really liked it. It was famous. I don't know. It was his favorite thing. He was like, oh, I want to take this on. And in 1998, the bodies went under new forensic studies by Dr. David Sweet, a professor and specialist at UBC, and he was able to find a little bit of DNA in the children's teeth, like in the teeth of the skulls.
Yeah.
And the results extracted revealed that the two murdered children were not a boy and a girl, but two boys. And furthermore, they were brothers from the same mother but different fathers.
Ooh.
New cases.
Oh no, what if it's a sex worker's kids?
That's a really prevalent theory. Because they were never able to identify the kids, they never matched up to, like, missing persons. A lot of people believe that it was a mother that murdered her children.
Aww.
That doesn't really...
No.
Line up with a lot of people. Like, that's an easy go-to. Like, oh, yeah, women's clothing, fur coat, this is a sex worker, and she killed her kids,
but what
left
if
them
it,
in the woods.
What if she didn't kill them? What if her pimp killed them? Because they were dragging her down.
Yeah, that's the like, counter theory. Well, the counter theory is that, like, you know, if you're going to murder your kids in a really violent way, like with an axe, you're not going to, like, place your expensive fur coat over them in an act of compassion.
No.
And then leave your shoe and walk away. So another counter theory suggests that maybe the mother was killed and the first target, and the kids were just present, and they had to get rid of them because of, you know, leverage.
Witnesses.
Witnesses. So they also used, like, the mother's clothes to throw off the investigators, which worked.
Maybe. Who knows?
If that was the intent, we still don't know to this day. We never even identified the victims.
That's really strange. Like, how does nobody, like, how would nobody know that these kids went missing?
They could be foreigners. This is, like, post-war, so you have a lot of, like, transients and vagrants and people moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. And people with violent tendencies because of, you know, post-traumatic stress and just, you know, war-torn.
And I guess poor record-keeping back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No social media.
Yeah, like, and also, I mean, probably more home births, so then less likely to be...
No paper trail.
Yeah, less paper trails.
Yeah, and...
You know, I never considered that, like, that the police would keep evidence like that on file, like, indefinitely. So, like, they still have the bodies.
Yeah,
like, where do they keep them? Where are they...
The bodies have actually been, buried. Cremated and buried.
Okay, I was gonna say, were they buried in the dead baby garden the cemetery near my house?
The babies were cremated, saving a few pieces of bone for future use in DNA testing, and their ashes were spread in the ocean off of Kitts Beach.
Oh, okay.
And was this in the 90s, like after they had reopened the investigation, or?
Yeah, yeah. I think actually in the 2000s. Quite recently. I didn't get the exact date of that. Nobody seemed to have...
Was it like a public thing? They're just like...
And right. Now we bid the babes from the woods to the sea.
It seems like it was done quite quietly, just to give them rest.
Yeah.
Which is a lot better than having people parade past them and taking pictures and selfies.
Yeah, that's one of the weirdest parts of the story.
Yeah. So we got a couple of new leads after the DNA revealed that they were two boys. So there was a woman who stayed in New Haven Hotel with two boys and then disappeared. A woman from Mission who hitchhiked to Stanley Park with her two boys, and they were wearing aviation helmets.
Oh.
There was a woman and a man seen with two kids at Stanley Park with a hatchet. And the woman was said to have disappeared into the woods with the kids and the man. And she returned later with also the man and had blood all over the legs when she returned.
Well, that
three
sounds...
very possible.
Yeah.
The most promising lead in the search to discover their identities came from former VPD detective Ron Emile, who was born in 1930 and lived with his grandmother in her rooming house at Butte and Davy Street. When he was interviewed for Cold Case Vancouver, he said that his grandmother knew Harry Cox, a signalman at the Prospect Point Lighthouse. What?
Harry.
Harry's, yeah, Harry Cox. Harry Cox in the big lighthouse. So after the war, Harry's daughter and her two sons stayed in the rooming house, and at some point the two little boys disappeared. And that disappearance wasn't linked to the investigation because it was a boy and a girl that they were searching for.
Why did they think one of them was a girl?
I don't know.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
Well, just that, like, that limits your search, obviously.
Also, like, if you think back to when it was, if they were playing as wartime heroes, how, like, back then, girls wouldn't have been encouraged to play those kinds of games.
That's true.
No. It was a doctor, not a forensic pathologist.
I guess forensic science wasn't really that advanced yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough to even tell the gender of the... Of the victims.
Yeah.
So, the investigation of Harry Cox, they found another son who died in the 70s and could have been half-brother to these two boys if that was the actual case. And so they took his body and tested for mitochondrial DNA, and the results were inconclusive. Not enough DNA for a match. And yeah, so there were several, like, really likely leads, and they all led nowhere.
And I guess at this point, I mean, if the DNA is not really sufficient enough, then it's unlikely that they're going to find a resolution unless somebody comes forward with new information.
And the murderer is probably dead.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, we'll never find the murderer. And they really wanted to, like, at least identify the kids. Because, yeah, you know, put it at rest, right?
Yeah. No. But like the murder of Janet Smith, it's a mystery.
Yeah. So I have four references.
All right.
The Vancouver Police Museum has a really good a review of the Babes in the Woods. As they should. Like,
yeah.
If they're going to put all this effort into showing off their, like, unsolved murder.
Yeah.
Where is the police museum? I've never been there.
Oh, it's
kind of like near Main and Hastings by the, you know, the Fire Hall Theater?
I think it's on Cordova?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it's, so it's, like, on Cordova, just east of just east of Main.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool there.
Yeah.
They've got, like, their morgue.
They do movies, like, in them sometimes.
Yeah. Movies in the morgue?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to book that venue.
Yeah. You have to book it, like, way in advance to get in.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, 30 spots or something.
Yeah, they do, like, one a month or something like that.
I don't know if I should reveal that or we should use that for another episode. But the morgue has some really cool surprises in it, too.
Oh, okay.
Save it for another episode, Topher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, other resources.
Reddit had a really fun, like, just crowdsourced information.
Yeah, because that's, like, true crime stuff.
Yeah, Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. Eve Lazarus seems to keep popping up.
She just likes those murders, you know?
She must be Canadian at the very least.
Yeah.
And unsolvedcanada.ca.
Woo!
So there's a lot of, like, repeat information. If you go online and search Babes in the Woods, like, a lot of people will just take the same information and rehash it. It was actually really hard to find, like, specific details.
Yeah.
But these were my four main sources, and these are really great places to find out.
Okay, now I want you guys to turn around and look out at the lake.
Yeah.
How creepy is that?
It's pretty eerie.
Yeah.
The moon is, like, yellow.
And then basically there's, like, this ring where you can see clearly, and then beyond that it's all, like, smoky, or it looks like foggy, but it's actually smoke that's on the water. Smoke on the water.
Da, 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 da. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a single star.
Yeah, there's one over there.
You can actually see one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's a satellite. But now I think we go on to the second portion of our field trip episode.
We're on location, so we're gonna move. we're gonna have some fun.
We're gonna try and find where the babes were found. It's going to be hard in the dark.
I can't see a thing.
That's why we have flashlights.
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Yeah.
Good thing we brought along, like, expendable ghost bait, Jordan Barnes Krause.
But I have one of the only two flashlights.
Expendable ghost bait, Ariel Hansen.
All right. Well, I guess we'll be checking back in a few minutes.
Yeah. So, okay. We're walking in Stanley Park.
In a sensitive environmental area.
a little trail that said, like, watch out for wheelchair traffic.
Yeah, so...
It's pitch black.
Yep, we've got flashlights. And even when we've got our flashlights out, you can see smoke.
Yeah, we can actually see, like, the lines from the light.
Yeah.
So, forest fires suck.
Yeah, we're not ranting about those again, Topher.
Okay. But spooky stuff is great.
Yeah.
And Stanley Park has a really great history. Of course, we spent like a whole half an hour on Dead Man's Island, which is literally like horror story after horror story after horror story after horror story. You guys just heard the axe murderers here in Stanley Park.
Watch out!
Hey, you can see the trail that it made. It's going around in circles. Or I guess it walked like... Or walked. It slithered. Yeah. It slugged its way like halfway onto the path and was like, nope, I'm going back.
That was almost another horror story for that slug.
Yeah. There's almost another murder.
Watch out.
My God. Chill, guys. So, slugs in Stanley Park.
They come out at night.
Do you guys have any more stories about Stanley Park? Do you know anything else that happened here? I mean, there must be tons. Actually, it is, I think, the biggest national park. No. The biggest... No.
Like city park.
City park in North America.
Ooh! We're going under the road!
And there's caution tape everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, I want to take a picture.
Yeah, this is far creepier than I expected.
All right, so we got lost briefly, but looks like we found civilization again.
Oh, there's people. We're trying to cross-reference this very, very indistinct map that doesn't have a lot of details.
From like the 40s or 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah, and with modern-day GPS, there isn't really any trails in the map.
Well, this bridge does lead in the direction that we're trying to go.
Let's take it.
Okay.
It says no traffic except cyclists.
And it's not on the map, which is, you know, we're just walking out into the dark in a place that's not on the map. But it's in the general...
That's totally safe.
How horror movies start.
Yeah.
Well...
I see a car, at least.
Yeah.
It's not moving. That's always, like, good.
There's a trail. See? We're safe. We're safe.
Yeah.
We can get on that trail.
Wait, I just want to see what the sign is. Oh, they're going to be filming here.
Bad Angels Productions for the series Siren. Huh. Vancouver, you guys. We film stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
That's... Go follow the road or follow the path?
Follow the road, maybe.
Okay.
I just don't have the greatest shoes for this. And
so we're going to go towards the park.
Yeah. With cones around it.
To find the unsolved murder. Spot.
I hope you're not actually walking onto a set.
If it is, it would just be like the security guard who would tell us, go back around.
And they would have locked it off by now.
Hey, a scooter.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, why is this here? This looks creepy.
This is literally the spooky. Oh, yeah.
Stanley Park Causeway.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi. Good. Is there a way we shouldn't go?
Oh, you're fine going up this road. It's just somebody passed and walked off.
Okay,
thank you.
You too.
Security guard from Siren. He's got a scooter hanging off his car. That's cool.
Yeah. I guess you gotta do something long nights like this.
Spook aerial.
Yeah.
But who was riding around on that bridge? Because if there's no cars, like cyclists? It was making a lot of noise for cyclists.
It felt like a car.
Yeah.
It could have been him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or this car that's coming up.
They just wanted, their entire goal was to spook Ariel.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see how far we are now. So we are.
How is that the extra trees added in?
Prospect Point, is that close to where we're trying to be? So it looks like we're still a little ways away.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. No, we're not. We're just passing through.
All right, yeah. Have a lovely day,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just can't go.
This is how we die.
Okay, this is literally the safest point in Stanley Park. We've got security guards. And they're not letting us go into the off-beaten paths where...
where we would die.
Yeah.
That would be where we would die.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, like, the film crew would get there to start shooting in the morning, and they'd find the dead bodies and be like...
As a union this set, they'd cursed. Have to, like, call the police and they'd shut down. It'd be totally stupid. If it was an independent set, they would film it first and then call the police.
Yeah, we would be set decoration, and then the police would get called.
If it was a bad cookie set, we'd just make a whole new film.
Maybe. I don't know, I'd feel bad.
Yeah. Man, there's so many security guards. Are you guys filming, like, soon?
Hi.
Man, why do they want to get so close to the Babes in the Woods site?
Oh, wouldn't it be crazy if somehow that tied into whatever they're shooting? Just like that,
mermaids and dead babies.
Like the Aleister Crowley thing you were talking
about. Yeah. That would be pretty
And weird. Somehow involved Aleister Crowley.
Man.
Okay, well, we can see the Lionsgate Bridge from here now.
Yep. Unfortunately, we couldn't go down any of the paths that we wanted to go down.
Yep, because of filming. Yep.
But I guess we can still loop around and see if that still takes us relatively close to
the
same
spot. We
ought
to be able to, because we still wanted to go deeper into the...
Oh, yeah.
Into the woods than they were filming, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, mine's
getting... moths!
So we're back in the woods.
Again.
Yeah.
We had to loop around because we wandered into the set of Siren.
Can't go anywhere in Vancouver without wandering onto a movie set.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's actually really annoying. Like, I'm just trying to go home. And, like, and like something is shooting on my street, and I have to wait until they're done their take.
Or I'm just trying to find a place where a dead body was found.
Yeah.
And...
jeez.
Yeah.
Now, hypothetically, there's not going to be any trails to this site.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you have any leads as to, like, where to go?
Yeah, Topher.
Okay.
Aside from, like, a map from 1953?
I mean, there's also a picture of the actual site, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll be able to match that, no problem.
You know, 70 years later.
Yeah, it's just some trees and...
Oh.
Some more trees.
Okay.
Nope, filming in progress.
But we want to go this way.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Do you have your GPS map now?
Oh yeah, sure. You mean my smartphone device?
iPhone.
Alright, let's see if it can find us. Oh, it looks like we're right where that X is on that map. We're pretty close.
I think, like...
we're, like, really close.
Yeah.
Like right over there?
Let's just say it's over there.
Yeah. We found it!
Or maybe over here, in those trees.
Maybe. Yeah, I feel like we wouldn't be going up, we'd be going down. This is a clearing.
Yeah. If you were to bury some bodies.
We shouldn't go too far, though.
Them, they covered them in coat.
They covered them in what?
In a woman's fur coat.
Oh, right.
So this might be it. Or something... So I'm going to look up the Babes in the Woods, like, actual shot.
See how well it matches these trees?
To the best of the abilities. Babes in the Woods, restaurant, closed. That's sensitive.
Look up murder?
Stanley Park.
Behind you.
No. No. Oh my gosh. It's like just black behind us.
So this is what we're looking for.
Sure, that's here.
Yeah, that's here. There we go.
Just imagine all the trees bigger.
But at the same time, smaller.
We should turn off all of our lights for just like a minute.
All right.
Okay.
And wait for that car to pass, because that's totally ruining the illusion.
Oh, where's this light coming from?
Oh, it's coming from the recorder.
Oh,
just like, here, there you go.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So we're in complete, not complete darkness. We are in the dark. No,
off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path. And hypothetically, what should have been the discovery point of the Babes in the Woods in Stanley Park.
Yeah.
Pretty close, anyway.
General vicinity.
Unsolved murder of two boys.
Okay, I guess we head back now.
Well,
sure.
While we're here, let's just finish the episode.
Okay. Do you want to finish it here or do you want to wrap it up in safety?
No, I want to finish it here.
Okay.
This is my episode and... Oh, creepy.
For those who couldn't see that, Topher walked into a small tree branch.
It was creepy, okay? So this is... You're a very lucky person, Jackie Doyle, because you're our new patron.
Woo! Yeah, Jackie has joined our Patreon community, and so...
We get to give you a shout-out.
She's also a really good artist, so look her up.
And you can also look us up at Bad Cookie Pictures on every form of social media.
Except Snapchat.
So, oh, right.
Yeah, I don't Snapchat.
No. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we have a website, we have an email, badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
If you've got spooky stories that took place in Stanley Park, tell us.
Please, we'd love to keep talking about Stanley Park. It's really awesome and creepy.
Yeah. You can also find us on Pinterest. If you want to find my social media, at Hanson's Horror, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
And I'm Sneezing Wolf. You can find me on Instagram. Jordan.
Yeah, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, jbc.mov. That's jbc.mov on Instagram, jbc.mov on Twitter.
And do we want to say anything to...
To who?
To the two little boys that are probably still here.
We're sorry that this happened to you.
But we're still talking about it, and that's the important thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully one day we find out who you are.
Yeah, hopefully more media coverage will help with all this. Yeah.
So,
stay creepy.
Stay creepy, BC.
Yeah.